Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of his word. Come sit with us.
In the letter to the church of Ephesus, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, the Apostle Paul told those followers of Jesus Christ that the key to meaningful relationships among the believers in that fellowship was for them to show love and compassion to each other, and to forgive one another when they were wronged by a brother or by a sister in Christ. Forgiveness breaks down the wall that unforgiveness has built up between us. And then Paul adds that we should also forgive one another because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Because of him, God has forgiven us of all of our sin, a debt that we could not repay, a debt that he has paid. Christ has paid that debt for us when he died on that cross. So, how can we not forgive one another when we have been forgiven so much? It's a good question, isn't it? A changed heart will be seen in a changed life, in a life of gratitude, and in a life of forgiveness. And in the closing verses of Matthew chapter 18, Jesus gives us some powerful and some compelling teaching regarding our need to forgive one another. So, as he's teaching his disciples, teaching them about those who will enter into the kingdom of heaven, as he's giving them the pattern for church discipline among the brothers and the sisters in that assembly, as we attempt to bring them back, those who've wandered away from the truth in their sin and in their sin against us, how we're to reach out to them because we love them, because we care about them, and because we care about Christ. We care about the name of Christ. We do not want to see his name disgraced. We don't want to see his name dragged through the mud by those who claim to represent him. And after listening to Jesus speak of these things, one of his disciples, a man by the name of Simon Peter, spoke up. He had a question that was on his mind. He wanted to know about those in the church who continually sin against us. What about them? Do we continually forgive them? You may have asked that same question. Surely, he thought, there must be a bottom line. There must be a point where we say enough is enough. In the Old Testament, in Amos chapter 1, it seems to indicate that we should forgive three times and no more than that. At least that was the teaching that we find in Jewish tradition. But knowing the compassion of Jesus, knowing his mercy, well, Peter thought it must be more than just three times. And so, Peter came forward and he drew near to Jesus and he said to him in verse 21, Lord, what is to be my responsibility in this matter? How often hypoxasis. How many times shall my brother, fellow believer, sin against me and I forgive him? Up to 7 times? What is to be the limit? What's to be the measure of the forgiveness that we are to have for each other? But what Peter, and perhaps what the other disciples did not understand, what they failed to see, was that our forgiveness of each other is to be immeasurable. It is to be without limit. And so in verse 22, Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to 7 times, but I say up to 70 times 7. What was Jesus telling him? Well, he was not telling him that the new limit for forgiveness is 490 times. But what he was saying was that forgiveness is beyond calculation. A forgiving heart does not keep records. It does not keep score. Instead, by God's grace at work in us, we are to return good for evil without limit. As Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, do not be like unbelievers who seek revenge. So if your brother sins, go to him, rebuke him, show him his fault, and if he repents, then forgive him. And if he sins against you, Jesus says, 7 times a day, and then returns to you 7 times and says, I repent, then forgive him. Be ready. Be willing to forgive him that often. In fact, we should forgive him before he repents, and then we should pray for him. Sin against us should not surpass. It should not overshadow our willingness to forgive that sin. For that person has offended God more than he has offended us. That sin is against him, and he will act to make things right. And to illustrate the absolute necessity of forgiveness, Jesus tells his disciples a story. He gives them a parable. A parable that is so severe in its discipline, so harsh, that many people are convinced that it could not apply to believers at all. But remember, this parable was given in response to that question by Peter regarding forgiving a brother or a sister in Christ. And so this parable does pertain to believers. It pertains to us. So in verse 23, Jesus begins his story. And he says, for this reason, dia in Greek, because of what I have just said, because of the teaching that I have just given you, the kingdom of heaven, the place where only the followers of Jesus Christ will be forever, the eternal kingdom of God may be compared, moio'o, it resembles this picture. God is like the king in this story. A king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. Sunai-i-ro. Each of his servants was called upon to give a calculation, a summary of how he had handled what had been entrusted to him. And while some of his subjects may have had a small amount of responsibility, others had great responsibility and acted as representatives of the king, collecting large sums of tax money in various parts of the kingdom. The same way that we have been given various responsibilities by the Lord, for which we are accountable to faithfully complete, to properly carry out those assignments. And here in this parable, we are not talking about the final accounting of our lives when we stand before the Lord as believers. No, we're talking about an assessment of our walk with Him here and now as we live our lives before Him. He sees if we are being faithful to Him. He knows if we have wasted our time and our resources on things that have no eternal value. And so, we're told in verse 24, when the king had begun to settle his accounts with his officials, there was brought to him one of his administrators who owed him 10,000 talents, a vast sum of money. Just one talent of gold would have been equal to 16 years of wages for a laborer, and this was 10,000 talents. So what is the point? The point is that this debt is like the debt of our sin. A debt that we owe, but a debt that is so great that we would never be able to repay it. And since this servant of this king did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, along with his wife and his children and all that he had, and to a certain extent, repayment would be made, as was the custom in those days. The sin of this man not only affected his life, it affected the life of his entire family, didn't it? And so, this slave, this servant, did the only reasonable thing that he could do. This was his last resort before disaster fell upon him. Therefore, it says in verse 26, falling down to the ground, he prostrated himself, proskuneo in Greek. He pressed his forehead in the dirt. And then he started kissing the feet of this king and saying to him, have patience with me, macrothumia. Delay your anger. And I will repay you everything. That was an impossible promise to keep, wasn't it? He would never be able to pay back such a great sum of money. But overwhelmed by his sin, he threw himself upon the mercy of that king. Isn't that what we do when we come to Jesus Christ for salvation? Don't we throw ourselves upon his mercy, knowing that we bring nothing within ourselves of value? And so we're told the Lord of that slave, the one, I will remind you, who had the power of life and of death over him, felt compassion for him, it says in verse 27. Splanknizomai in Greek. He was moved within himself. He was moved with pity towards that man. And so what did he do? We're told. He released him. Apollo, he set him free. He forgave him all of that debt. The slate was wiped clean. It was as if he had never done anything wrong, like the forgiveness that we find in Christ. But what happens next in this parable is at the heart of what Jesus was teaching his disciples about forgiveness. And so we're told in verse 28, that same slave, that same official, who had just been forgiven all of that debt, what was the first thing he did? We're told he went out from the presence of the king and he searched and he searched and he finally found one of his fellow slaves, another man who served the king, and a man who owed this administrator 100 denarii, about 3 months' wages for a laborer. Not a great sum. But despite having been shown mercy by that king, he seized that fellow servant, Krateo. He grabbed him and took hold of him. And then it says he began to choke him. Panigo. He started twisting his neck until blood came out of that man's nose, saying, pay me back. Apodidomi. Restore to me what you owe me. And so what did this fellow slave do? Well, he did the only reasonable thing that he could do. He fell down to the ground and he began to entreat him. Parakaleo, he pleaded with him, saying, have patience with me. Delay your anger. Delay your anger and I will repay you. Sound familiar? Those were the same words that this administrator had spoken to the king. But unlike the king, who had shown compassion and mercy, this man, we are told, was unwilling to forgive him. But instead, he went and he threw him into prison until he should pay back what was owed to him. A disgraceful picture, isn't it? Unbelievable picture. But a picture of the way that some followers of Jesus Christ treat each other. But when his fellow slaves saw and witnessed what had happened, they were amazed. It says they were deeply, extremely grieved. Lupeo, they were distressed. And so they came before the king and they reported to their lord, Diasa Feo. They gave him a detailed account and they made clear all that had happened. And then, summoning that administrator before him, his Lord said to him in verse 32, you wicked slave, Poneros, you worthless servant, You are one who claims to represent me. And I forgave you all of that debt. Why? Because you entreated me, parakaleo. You pleaded with me, just like your fellow servant pleaded with you. Should you not also have had mercy and compassion and pity on your fellow slave, even as I had mercy on you? And it says in verse 34, his Lord was moved, not with compassion this time, but he was moved with anger, orgizo in Greek. He was enraged. God is angry with us. He is angry with his children when we sin. And so what did he do? We're told he handed him over to the torturers. Basenistas, to those who inflict pain. Does that surprise you? This is a believer. Well, go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. And we find there our Lord says, those whom he loves, he disciplines and he scourges every son whom he receives. Sounds pretty harsh, doesn't it? Sounds pretty severe. How does he do that? How does he do that in our lives? Through difficulties, sometimes. Through adversities, through suffering sometimes, through heartache. And he teaches us. He disciplines us. He corrects us. He draws us back to himself so that we might know him better and so that we might live to honor him. Some pretty strong words for believers, aren't they? So in verse 34, we're told that this unforgiving servant remained in distress. For how long? It says, until he should repay the king all that was owed him. Well, how's that possible? We know that any financial repayment was impossible. So how could that servant repay anything? What could he repay? Well, he could repay with kindness for the kindness that had been shown to him, couldn't he? He could repay with mercy for the mercy that had been shown to him. He could repay with forgiveness for the forgiveness that had been shown to him. Does this speak to your heart? It should speak to our hearts as those who belong to Jesus Christ. And if he would not have a change of heart, then we are told he would remain in that place of suffering and of distress and of pressure. That's not the kind of place we want to be in as those who belong to Jesus Christ. And that is the point of this parable, we're told in verse 35, as Jesus addressed his disciples. He says, so shall my heavenly Father also do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart with a heart of compassion. Since you have been forgiven a debt, the debt of your sin, a debt that is and was so great that it was beyond our ability to even calculate. So how can we not forgive our brother and our sister in Christ from our heart, since the Lord has so freely forgiven us? These are strong words, aren't they? I pray that these words will penetrate into our hearts and cause us to fall to our knees and to forgive those who have wronged us as we have been forgiven. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.